Hi, I'm Gary Malevsky, your host of Cyber Defense TV. Welcome back for an exciting episode. Sitting in the cyber hot seat is Rick McElroy, the security strategist for Carbon Black. Rick, welcome.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me today.
So just let's level set. What does Carbon Black do? How do you do it?
Yeah, so we're a next-gen endpoint security vendor, right? We have a range of products, but really those products are dedicated to protecting the endpoint, finding adversaries that are out there doing bad things and kicking them out.
Now, is this a really lightweight little agent or a piece of code that gets deployed just kind of above the metal under the OS or at a virtual layer? Where do you deploy?
Yeah, kernel sensors, right? So we're way down in there so that the bad guys can't tamper with it, right? So, yeah, and the fundamental premise we operate under is unfiltered recorded data, right? So recording all of the correct metadata to actually put together the attack string so you can see the entire kill chain, rewind it, go after the bad guys, find root cause, and kick them out.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, are you doing this in real time?
Yeah, real time.
Most companies talk about in 200 days or less, right, we're catching the breach. And, you know, here we are thinking about the next gen of WannaCry, which was the first ransomware, taking advantage of the SMB protocol, gets on, you know, SMB1, gets on one Windows machine because a user clicked, sophisticated attack, clicked a link in email, and the whole network goes down.
Yep.
Right? How are you stopping that kind of attack?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, if ransomware fundamentally operates the same exact way, right? Whether the distribution method is double pulsar, right? Whether that's an email, generally, the steps that ransomware does on an endpoint are the same. So if you have visibility into those, you can interrupt the stream of activity and stop it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Is Carbon Black on more than the Windows platform?
Yeah, Windows, Linux, Macs, kind of all over in the endpoint space.
Yep. How quickly can I deploy your solution?
It depends on how many endpoints you have, but it's really lightweight. You know, a lot of times our sensors are used for compromise assessments from IR firms, and it's 30 seconds to deploy, right? So if you have credentials to the endpoint and can get it on there, it deploys. The data immediately starts streaming to a centralized server, and then you can interrogate that data any way you want.
Now, with the GDPR compliance that's out there, everyone's talking. Yeah. I actually considered a denial of service in my email and my web browser. I've had hundreds of daily barrages of, we are collecting tons of info on you. You know, click here so we don't have to annoy you tomorrow, but then click here again because we are annoying you. Now, in GDPR, it's all about protecting the consumer data from theft. Ultimately, just like all these regulations, the U.S. regs, you know, and the Visa PCI compliance, don't steal my personal information.
Yep.
I don't see vendors, a lot of vendors are talking about, I'm in GDPR compliance, but they're just writing these policies. I have a feeling that Carbon Black can actually enforce things to defend against a breach so fast that maybe I'm not going to have the risk of being out of compliance.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I think two things. One, the protection of privacy and consumers realizing that the data is theirs, right? And companies doing the right thing to protect that stuff. But yeah, so I think, look, if you can reduce your attack surface on those endpoints, if you can see the activity that the bad guys do, think of it like, and this is a great example in London. You guys have more CCTV cameras than anywhere in the world. Our technology works the same way. We're always recording. It's always on. Something happens. The team goes and rewinds the tape. And within minutes, literally within minutes, you're finding that activity and kicking them out. Or you're preventing it up front. Right.
Does Carbon Black share intel publicly and maybe attribution on some of the latest attacks or exploits that you've been preventing?
Yeah. So, you know, we participate in all the standard things that other security companies do. We're a big believer in threat intel sharing. So any of our research that we find, we publish it. And we're really good about, like, partnering with everybody out there. And we see ourselves as a piece of the stack and part of the ecosystem. Certainly, endpoint security is extremely important. That's where the data is. The data is moving all the time, and it's on these endpoints. So your security has to move with your data. But
Let's shift into the crypto economy together for a minute.
Yeah, it's awesome. We're actually releasing a report tomorrow, so expect to see that kind of making its way out there. Yeah.
So in the crypto world, a lot of people are worried that, you know, and by the way, I'm wondering if you're covering mobile because mobile is such a weak platform.
Not yet.
But you're considering.
It's a tough challenge. It's a tough challenge for detection and response on mobile devices. But yeah, we're quickly working on it.
Good, because I'll tell you, I mean, I've seen emoji keyboards connecting to servers in Beijing.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen flashlight apps turning on my microphone.
Definitely.
I've seen Bible apps, according to John McAfee, yeah, connecting to servers in Russia. It's an American English Bible, but why is it connecting to servers in Russia?
Yep.
So we've got all these mobile apps, and now we want to have a mobile wallet, and we want to do crypto.
Yes.
Right? And a lot of people have done crypto on Windows and other, yeah, platforms as well. What are you seeing in that crypto space? Is it cryptocurrencies are being used so I can for ransomware just to get paid? Or are you thinking, hey, this is an area that might explode and become a new economy, just like banking, you know, electronic or e-commerce? Are you going to help protect and defend against exploitation on crypto?
Yeah, it is a massive economy, right? $1.1 billion in crypto was stolen last year, right? So even if you said that's the total representative number of all of the, you know, all of the cryptocurrency in the world, that's an extremely high number for something that's brand new and sort of just gaining adoption, right? I think the big trend that we'd like to talk to people about is the shift away from cyber criminals using Bitcoin. So there were so many things being ransomed last year that companies couldn't actually go and obtain coins. No one knew how to do it, right? So you had CFOs that were like, hey, we got ransomed and need to go, what's a wallet? How do I stand it up? And it was taking weeks, right, to actually go get the crypto to pay the bad guys. So problem for the bad guys, they have to pay exchange fees, right? And it's taken forever to get their money. Same thing on the company side. Meantime, they can't restore service to those systems that were affected, right? So what they did is they got pretty smart about it, and they started crypto-jacking, right? So what do I mean by that? Getting a piece of malicious software on an endpoint so that I can actually mine cryptocurrency itself, right? And they also...
That's the next-gen form of malware, which is I'm not there to eavesdrop. I'm there to use your CPU horsepower,
right,
so that I can mine faster.
Yeah, and you know, part of it was there's some anonymity issues with Bitcoin and all that good stuff, and so they started using Monero. And so you saw Monero sort of go from a coin that you didn't see very often to a pretty big economy in and of itself. And now you've got some nation states that are out there bypassing sanctions, right? Because they can't use normal banking systems, so they're able to pay for things using Monero and Bitcoin.
So does Carbon Black now detect a mining engine that was designed to be zero day?
100%. So you know, there's some things that I'll call cheesy attacks, right? I hate to say that, but it's a pretty basic attack. Like, you know, lots of time it's happening with like website redirection and stuff. So you should. You should be able to defend against that fairly easily, right? I mean, it's not that advanced, and it's not persistent, so, yeah.
Well, to you it's not advanced, which means Carbon Black is thinking one step ahead of some of the other competitors in this, we'll call it securing the endpoints.
Yeah, well, look, I think it goes back to our fundamental premise, and the, you know, kind of the issue we have with other technology that's out there. If you don't record the right data set, I don't care how good your analytics are, mm-hmm, you're going to make bad prevention and detection decisions. So for us, if you can actually record that data and you can rewind the tape, that's where you need to be, because you're going to be able to make better prevention decisions upstream as well. So what do I mean by that? Well, if you have visibility on the endpoint, you can kind of see, hey, what part of my stack are things bleeding through?
Mm-hmm.
Is it my spam filter, mm-hmm, right? Do I need to tune things upstream? Maybe it's my firewall. Maybe I need some logical segmentation to help this stuff. But if you don't have the telemetry from the endpoint, this stuff's just landing on there and you have no idea where it's coming from.
And you know, there have been a lot of people talking about, you know, anti-phishing. And just to kind of wrap up our conversation, this is the biggest area of breaches. I'm going to train my users to,
yes,
not click a link, and they still click,
yep,
the link. And then the CISO says it was a sophisticated,
yep,
attack,
yep,
right?
Yep.
But that's an endpoint that now has some zero-day malware on it. It may propagate, or like you said, it may be Bitcoin mining or Monero,
yep,
mining. How quickly can you detect, block, quarantine, isolate, or stop that breach from that user who's,
yeah,
been phished an email?
Yeah, well, look, if you talk about application whitelisting, so a positive security email, only approved binaries are allowed to run, and everything else is rejected. Strongest possible stance an endpoint can be on, that's just not a problem, right? Because it's an unknown executable, and you've said those are disallowed. If you look at things like our next-gen antivirus tool, right? So it operates on the same fundamental premise as our detection and response tool. It's recording the data. And because it's recording that data set, what we do is move when something moves from suspicious to bad. And I'll give you a quick example of that. A user goes to a website, and a video starts to play and flash runs. That is not, that happens hundreds of thousands of times a day across the internet, right? Not inherently security interesting, and teams don't need to spend any time on it. But then Flash does something weird. It injects a DLL in the memory, and that DLL calls PowerShell. And now PowerShell is accessing what we would call LSAS, right? Well, what is LSAS on a Windows system? That's where your hash credentials are. Well, once PowerShell has access to that, I can take those credentials and go anywhere on your network, right? I can take system administration tools. So now you have credential harvesting, you have lateral movement, and you weren't able to see and stop any of that because the tool's looking for a this point in time decision of a binary that's going to run or not. Well, look,
the plug-in in the browser that everyone trusted at that organization.
And the big point being this, malware is a tool that attackers use. If you focus on attackers and look at the stream of behaviors, malware becomes a thing you have to defend against along that chain. But if you focus on just malware, you're going to miss all these other type of attacks that are really bad. If I ransom one of your servers, that's going to be a pain. All right, you're going to have to pay some money. You're going to have some downtime, right? Mm-hmm. That's probably, for most companies out there, they have backups. They can restore that system. You know, it's a interruption in service. If I have PowerShell on your system for a week, it's going to be way bigger. Like, I have all the info on your company. I know who the admins are. I know how they work. And so all of that intelligence I'm going to leverage every time against your company to come back over and over again. And then I'm going to walk out with your data, right?
And typically, that organization is running some antiquated antivirus solution anyway, right?
There are lots of legacy. Can
Carbon Black function in parallel with the old stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we're deployed a lot of times like that. So when you look at our next gen antivirus tool, and I was a former CISO, and I say this to people all the time, look, yeah, trust but verify. So you know, you're going to have a current tool, you put the tool next to it, and you'll see pretty quickly. And what we're finding out is within 30 days, teams are turning off their old systems and relying on Carbon Black.
Yeah. Sounds great. Well, this is an awesome interview. I'm really thrilled and excited, and I want to know, can I get Carbon Black just as a home user, a consumer?
Yeah, no, we are not in the consumer space yet. There's some other tools out there, but I'm sure at some point in the future, we'll have some discussion around what we do for that book. But today, we are solely focused on enterprises out there and small and medium businesses that are protecting consumer data.
Got it. Yeah. So, SMBs, enterprises, government agencies, if you want to secure yourself against tomorrow's threat today, check out Carbon Black at carbonblack.com and stay tuned again next time for an exciting episode of Cyber Defense TV.